Hello, everyone. This is Supreme Decisions, and you're tuned in to the Supreme Decisions Legal Minute Podcast. Now, I know it's been a couple of days since the last one, and we're probably going to have a bunch drop in the next, I want to say week. We'll probably have about 10 to 15 episodes that drop in the next week. But I want you to understand something. There is a lot of information that's going into a short period of time, but it's going to be something that's going to be fixated on not only allowing you to learn, but to elevate your actual thought, right? It's to elevate your actual being. And what happens is, this is the thing I'm trying to give you now that allows you to be better, or at least have the direction of what better would be or looks like. Now, what I want to talk about today is something that I want to say yesterday was one of the most interesting days I've had in a long time. And it was one of those days that I had not had the opportunity to either witness or be part of in a very long time. Well, let me give you a couple of starts. My day yesterday started at around 5 a.m. I normally don't get up and start moving that early in the morning because I don't have to. That's a choice. But you know what? Before I get into that, let me back up a little bit. Because this episode is about stress. It's about the psychology of war. Well, how does stress work in war? I'm going to get into that a little bit. But I'm going to give you something as far as who I am. A lot of people have said, oh, well, you're lucky. These are people from my past. They'll say, you're lucky. Now I'll ask them, why is that? Because you don't have the same pressures we do. You don't have the same stress we do. And I'll actually agree with them. Because things that bring stress into my life, I get rid of. Now, I've long been this way. I'm going to go back to the age of 17. My father told me, if I didn't like his rules, didn't like the way he was speaking to me, didn't like all the other things that were him, to get out of his house. I didn't speak to my father again until age 26, when he was literally the day before he passed away. We lost 9 years because I did not mind not having that stress in my life. I didn't give a shit about how it affected someone else because my stress is going to be eliminated. I'm going to lower it. I then go to November 12th, 1:04 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I just, I'm like a few weeks removed from winning a RICO case sitting first chair pro se. My brother's on the phone with me and I'm going back and forth with him. We're arguing. Again, a stressful point. Because I'm attempting to help him. I'm trying to help him not harm himself. His words to me are, you are trying to hold me back like the white man. I told my brother, I'll see you next lifetime. I made a conscious choice not to speak to him again because as far as I'm concerned, he's dead. I have not spoken to my brother since 1:04 p.m., November 12, 2012. My mom on her deathbed, she said, you need to talk to your brother. And I told her, I don't speak to spirits. I don't mind not having the stress in my life. I am literally more than 1,500 miles away from my closest relative. Literally. I don't mind not having that stress in my life. I'm only around people that allow me to be positive. I only allow people around me that only bring positivity. Now, with that being said, I watched during my trial, because prior to, from 2008 to 2010 when I was indicted, I was helping hundreds, if not thousands of people, literally, because I was getting 30 to 40 requests per day, every day, for help. And it was all around the country. And I was helping people save their houses, save, you know, their assets, save jobs, get their children back. And I watched a young man convict himself for 5 years of something that was not a crime because of stress. I watch people daily go out and make excuses or justify their actions because they feel a pressure you don't. I often have people ask me, well, what is it that you do? Well, what would you do in this situation? I always tell them I'm a bad example. The greatest reason why I'm a horrible example, because I'm the guy. Not because it had to be done. I'm the guy that had two members of his family that loves him tie him to a chair, put a wet towel over his face, and pour water on his face till I passed out just to see how far I could be pushed. I want you to let that sink in. That's why I gave you the dramatic effect pause. So when you're asking me, what is it that allows me to do something? What would I do? The question would be, would you do that? Because even when I talk an eye for an eye, right? I'm cool with losing my eye to get yours. I am a person that, you know, my father referred to it as a fool with a purpose. I am willing to sacrifice everything I have to get you. I am willing to sleep outside on the concrete and be frigidly cold just to get you. I am willing to forsake everything to exact revenge on you. So when you ask me, what am I willing to do? I am willing to sacrifice everything at any given moment. Because even at one point, my brother referred to me as a nomad because I live out of backpack. The funniest shit is I've always been that. I don't believe in moving stuff. Like, I think only maybe twice in my entire life I've actually packed up things in one house and moved it to another one. And one of those was not really my doing. I said fuck it to everything that was in the house. And friends of mine decided, because I threw a couch off a third story building because I was frustrated. I don't want to take this stuff to my new place. So I just threw the couch off the balcony. But again, it's understanding that I'm giving you a little bit of me in this, but the context of what is stress? Because in psychology, stress is the feeling of emotional strain and pressure. We often hear pressure busts pipes and makes heroes. Pressure makes stress. That is something that most people have on them on a daily basis. Road rage, those are responses to stress. When you have people that stop speaking because you're in a marriage, and the husband says to the wife, well, you know what? Today I feel like this. And she says, well, I don't want to hear that. Guess what? He stops saying it because you've created a stress for him. When you see one entity in a bar, they have to be inebriated to go deal with someone. That is a stress they're trying to alleviate. Depression is a bodily response to stress. Now, one of the things I actually love is my boy Todd. When we were in high school, we would go out in the rain, literally on Fort Gordon, and we would run full court. No jump shots until we were tired. And that would be, we would literally run 20 minutes straight because that's pretty much the equivalent of a college quarter or half. 20 minutes. But at that 20-minute mark, we now have to start shooting jump shots. We're running for another 10 minutes because, you know, you have to have time. We don't do the pauses, so we just keep running for another 30 minutes. But now in that last 10 minutes, we're shooting jump shots. And he would irritate the hell out of me, but he would tell me, be a shooter when you're tired. It's not grab, post up, jab, step. No, we're constantly running. It's fluid motion. I guess some people, that part of kinetic energy. But we would just keep shooting. Because why? We have to be able to think when we're tired. For my Bible people, one of the things that happened to Jesus, he was put in a desert for 40 days and 40 nights, and then he was confronted by the devil. The one thing that allowed Jesus to continue being who he was the simple fact that he was able to be who he was even when he was at the edge of exhaustion. He was able to continue to think even though the levels of stress were beyond those of him being able to comprehend. The Marines do stress tests. Because you have to be able to think and respond the exact same way when you are tired, when you are at the edge of exhaustion, when you are at the edge of being dead, when you've given everything that you got. That's why they talk about champions. When they're talking about, it's not the skill, it is the will. I'm going to give you a bunch of dumbass colloquialisms. And one of those is not the size of the dog in the fight. It's the size of the fight in the dog. That's what they're talking about. That level to be able to continue to execute. Even when the stress is at a level that is beyond your own comprehension. Because stress makes you behave in a manner in which you've never done before. Because stress is a psychological pain. Now, why do we refer to it as a psychological pain? Because again, remember, the brain remembers two things. Pain, pleasure. And our memories actually aren't things that actually happen. They are a bunch of collectives that our mind has put together in a neat package in order for us to be able to relive it. It's not what actually happened. It's what our mind has conjectured for us to be able to relive it. That's why a lot of times you hear people talk about the subconscious. Oh, he just went on autopilot. Because his brain went to a place that X'd out the level of stress that he or she is experiencing and created something to allow him or her to continue to function. When you see people fold their arms, that's a subconscious response to stress. When people take a plea deal for something that's not even a crime, That's a subconscious response to stress. When you're looking at 95% of Americans taking deals versus fighting, it's because they don't want to deal with the level of stress that's placed upon them. And what happens is when you start to go and you're going through all these, what do you call it? These changes, because what's the most funny evolutionary thing that I've ever seen in my life is the one constant in our life that we're all trying to stop, and that's change. We're trying to, I don't want to change. Change is bad. Change, because again, change is painful. Change causes stress, but it's the only constant that you have, because when you start listening to this, there has been a change to this point right now. You're able to continue to consume this because your brain has already registered that this is something that is pleasurable for you, because it doesn't cause too much pain to where it has to be blocked out. That's what we call selective hearing also. But anyway, when we're talking about small amounts of stress may be beneficial, and it can also improve athletic performance. Because weight training is a form of stress. And coincidentally, it also allows you to cope with mental deficiencies. I'm going to say that one more time, because weight training and exercising, I'm going to come back to the exercise part, allow us to not only strengthen our physical, but it allows us to strengthen our mental ability to deal with stress. Because the resistance itself is stressful. It can actually serve as a point of motivation, and it also can allow you to adapt and react and respond to our environmental changes. So when you're talking about doing something like keeping your body healthy, that can be a helpful stress. But at the same time, if you are looking for immediate change, and I always talk about that because we live in a microwave society. We're looking for everything right now. The problem is we forget that, let's say, an attorney goes to school for 8 years. And then they're constantly learning. We think that one podcast is going to change your view and give you a great understanding of actual law application. One video is going to give you actual law understanding. Oh, it amazes me because the amount of people that will tell me, oh, I already know that, but don't know how to apply it. Or, man, I've been done that, and then end up in jail. But I'm gonna ask you a question. Why is it that we're willing to shut down new knowledge versus gaining new knowledge? Because the pressure of gaining something new increases our responsibility in doing. Because once you know, you can't go backwards. I'm going to say that again. Because once you know, you become more responsible for the things that you know. So it's easier to not even challenge it or actually accept it. Because again, whether it's a good stress or a bad stress, however you're responding to it changes your behavior. Because everyone copes with stress in a different manner. Everyone receives different stresses at different levels. Why? Because everyone has a different expectation of said stress. Because even, let's talk about a little bit. Because even when the stock market crashed, there were millions of people that actually jumped out of windows. Oh my God, my portfolio's gone. Oh God, I can't deal with it. And they jumped out of windows. Because again, psychologically, they were not able to handle the stress. You look at these guys that's taking deals now with Young Thug's case. They psychologically can't handle sitting in a 6x6, cold, not knowing. Because I always ask. Because I look at my situation. One of the things that I was able to rest on that actually allowed me, that even relieved some of my stress, was I'm standing with my brother. We're looking for attorneys to represent us for this RICO trial. My mama tells my brother, you need, without a fashion, I just rejected my third attorney. Just rejected him. And she tells him, you need to get an attorney. My brother turns around and looks at her and says, I'm not getting an attorney until Richard gets one because he has the most to lose. My brother then, body does not change. We're standing in front of the judge and she asked him, how does he plead? My brother's response is, get your 12. Get your 12. Richard is standing here saying he's going to represent his own interest. Get your 12. We're ready. If Richard says we're ready, we're ready. At no point did he ever waver. At no point did he ever question anything that I said. At no point did he change who he was when we were standing there. We're facing 20 years per count on 108 counts. I'm going to say that one more time because I want you to do the math on it. We're facing 108 counts, 20 years per count. And his response is, get your 12. That actually relieved my stress, even though he put more weight on my shoulders. When I was selling Kirby vacuums, my supervisor, Sterling, he actually told me one day, he said, you know what? He said, I don't know what it is that motivates you. He said, but I want you to do me a favor. I said, what's that? He said, go to the BMW dealership and I want you to go buy a 750. He said, and then I'm taking you over here to these apartments. He said, and you're going to get a 3-bedroom apartment. I'm like, why the fuck would I do that? Why? That doesn't make any sense. He told me, he said, because money doesn't motivate you. Responsibility does. He said, if I put more on you, you will do more. And I had never thought of that because that's literally how I've been. The more you put on my shoulders, the more of a blessing I can be. But you have to be willing to walk through the fire with me because I'm not walking through the fire for you. Because I'm willing to take on that stress. Because even whenever we're doing something, you may not like how I speak to you. You may not even like my timeline. Understand, I'm working on your case as if it is mine. I'm directing you and guiding you as if I am you. But you have to be able to put your feet in the fire and look the devil in the eye and accept the stress that comes with being me. Because I am that monster. I might be the nicest guy in the world that you've ever met, but I am that monster. Because I actually put up a post a couple weeks ago and I thought it was hilarious. I actually stopped fighting my demons. Because again, remember I told you, all my stresses, I get rid of them. Many people can't live with their demons. They're, I can't deal with it because the stress is too much. I keep fighting my demons every night. Nah, stop fighting them. My demons have become a part of who I am. The thing is, my demons also understand when it is they need to show up. They need to show up when I'm willing to be tied to a chair. When I'm willing to die. When I'm willing to sacrifice everything I have. I'm that poker player. Where I told people my problem, my greatest problem, because again, living out of a book bag. I don't really care about anything. Nothing I have has any real value to me. But the context is, I'm willing to push everything to the middle of the table every time because I don't mind starting from zero because everything I lose, I can get back. You lost all your money, I can get it again. You lost your house, I can get another one. You messed up your credit, no one cares. Because I don't allow those levels of stress to even become part of who I am because I understand who I am. I'm understanding, I'm willing to make certain sacrifices to get what it is that I want. These are the things that most people can't contemplate because, again, they don't understand why they're behaving differently. Because even in sales, one of the things I talked about did when I was in sales was you have to learn how to be a great listener, which is probably why I hate talking or even listening to my own voice because I know what I'm saying. Anyway, the context of being a great listener is it allows you to understand how to manipulate because everyone tells you how to sell them. Everyone tells you where their stress point is. And what is funny to me is people state the obvious. And I'm going to go back to the story of Samson. Right? We're always shown this huge man with 22-inch arms and he's just jacked to, you know, no means. Or some of the folks, he's yoked to no end. But the question that was constantly asked to him is where you get your strength. Now, let's go to Captain Obvious. If I'm looking at how big his arms are, I'm not really going to ask him why is he strong. Because I remember when I was doing bodybuilding, I was 295 pounds. I was just as wide and my arms had a nice little size to them. No one ever questioned whenever I told them. I said, yeah, I want one with about 330. Nobody looked at me and said, nah, you ain't doing that. Nah, you ain't benching that. No one ever said that. Why? Because I looked like I was working out with 335 pounds. I looked like that. So why would someone then question where did I get my strength from? So when we're looking at that, when someone is stating the obvious, oh, I'm not scared of your big ass. Guess what they are? They are scared of my big ass. Understand that. Because if they weren't, why are we having a conversation about it? I'm not scared to go see the judge. But then we have a conversation and going to see the judge comes up five times. Oh, I didn't know that we had to do that. Why do I have to go to court? I ain't scared to go to court. But do they need me to go to court? That means now that's the trigger. That's the mechanism. You're telling me that you are afraid to go to court. That is a source of stress. And now it's causing you to not only question, but it's causing you to respond and react in a manner that's different. because you're looking for a source of comfort. And because you don't know where that comfort is going to come from, you have to keep questioning it. I'm going to get into some other stuff, but I want you to understand. I cut out stress because stress, not only can it benefit your health, it can do increasive amounts of, what do you call it? Physical trauma. And I use the word trauma because that's what it is. Things that can be traumatic, like a stroke, heart attack, ulcers. And even when I talk about depression, these are responses, bodily health responses. When you have someone have anxiety attacks, those are responses to stress. Because your body, that's the comfort level your body has found for that level of response. Level of stress. That idea. Your anxiety. Like, oh God, you tense up. Ugh. That's a stress response. You're doing something now. Your body is changing how you normally move. That tensing action is a change. Because if that stressor was not there, your body would not behave in that manner. Because even when you talk about police tactics, they employ stress retentions or stress points where they're doing that to enact an arrest. Because what they're doing is trying to stop a resistance by causing a pain. Like, shoot. Because again, they understand, they're taught the natural responses of the body when certain points are hit, when certain methods are used. Natural responses. What happens, because even, again, like I talked about the Marines, they even talk about, what do you call that? It's like nerve deading. Because it changes how you respond naturally to certain moves, certain initiations, certain pressure points. It's taught in combat sports how to deaden these zones, because the natural response being hit in these certain zones allow for a natural bodily change. How do you do that? You have to train yourself to be that way. You have to train yourself, because again, when you talked about the battle for good and evil, God and the devil, they're fighting for your soul. No, they're fighting for your mental choice. They're fighting for your response to stress. Because they're going to put you in stressful situations to see what you choose. They're fighting for your mentality. When you're placed in something, we're talking about chess. Chess is about strategy. It's about the alleviation of stress. Chess alleviates stress. But again, these are things, because even smoking is a coping mechanism. Alcohol is a coping mechanism. When you see those that are going out and looking for drugs, and they're looking to relieve stress and pain. Because remember, we talked about stress is a feeling of emotional pain and pressure. It's psychological pain. So you're looking for methods to alleviate this pain. When you're doing that in a legal matter, in a legal form, in a legal constitution of this, the one thing you have to understand is know thyself. Know your limits. Because I hear people, well, I want to do this, I want to do that. But as soon as the stress hits, there's the change. As soon as they see something that's different. Soon as they're forced to sacrifice, there's something different. Because I always tell people, it's easy to be combative when there is no adversary. It's easy for us to go out and protest. It's difficult for us to actually fight. It's easy to be angry at somebody who's not here. It's difficult to look them in the eye and hold your hands up. So whenever I talk about looking the devil in his eye, it's easy to talk about the fight. It's difficult to stand there in front of that judge and actually stand in front of the judge. That's why whenever they're talking about standing on your square, that square is difficult to be on because that square is center stage. That's why and I always give that the context of fighting in a phone booth. Because the great part about that, when you're fighting in a phone booth, there's nowhere to run. It's mano a mano. It's you or him. And many people can't stand on that square because they can't stand in that square. Because even Mike Tyson talked about everybody has a plan until they get punched in the mouth. Because then you see who they really are. Everybody has that fight in them. Everybody has that dog in them until. That's why I watched 13 of them with that dog. They were sitting there, they were barking with me until the feds showed up. Then they were taking deals for things that wasn't even crimes. I don't want to go to jail for 2,000 years. I'll go to prison for 5. What'd you do? I don't know. What was the crime? I don't know. One chick went to jail, or actually went on probation for 20 years. And she was a material witness. She took a probationary deal because the stress that they were doing to her psychology, her mind, her mental, they were attacking her mind, her ideals. Because she felt she couldn't fight them for 20 years. And John Melvin told her, if you get so much as a traffic citation, you're going to prison for the next 20 years. That broad's still riding a bicycle because she is scared to death that she's going to prison. And she was a material witness. She had not even committed a crime. But now she's labeled as a criminal for the next 20 years. She got 10 more to go. Don't allow stress and the ideas become part of what it is that you're doing, especially if you decide to call me and enact me in your shit. If you pick up the phone, or get behind your computer and you type for me to send me an email, you want to send me a comment, you say, hey, I need help. If you are not willing to go where you're saying you're going, save both of us time. Because if you tell me that you are willing to sacrifice everything, I am going to take you for your word. I'm going to guide you as if that is what we are doing. Because I'm going to expect that you understand and know yourself. Because the second you begin to act out of character due to stress, I'm going to cut you out of my life.